you so much for tuning in. Welcome to yet another inspiring episode of my podcast, Tutelage, with your host, Priyadarshini Barek. There is so much to learn in the world around us. From the day that I have started podcasting, I have had immense learning from all my guests. And today's guest is someone who has never given a little break to her life and is such an inspiration. This very common woman has turned all the odds into her favor with some of her uncommon choices in life. She is a breakthrough expert, 360-degree success coach, and works relentlessly with women leaders and entrepreneurs living their dreams. Let's welcome her. All right, thank you so much, Smita, for taking out time and giving us this time to talk about and to know about and understand how you've achieved what you've achieved. How and from where did this thought of nurturing lives came from?
Okay, so first of all, thank you so much for having me over. It's a complete pleasure and it's a full delight to be here. So thought of nurturing lives is, so if you must have gone through a little about me, the dream of changing the world, inspiring lives has been there from the time I was very young. Like, you know, I must have been in second grade or something like that. And I would keep seeing this picture in front of me and I would keep telling my mom that, you know, I will be giving a talk to thousands of people and you all will be in the front row. And you all will feel very proud of me. I don't know, probably that talk could be something when I must be receiving some award. You know, at that time, there was nothing like an industry like this. At least as a child, I wasn't aware of it.
Yeah.
So I would justify why I would be giving a talk. And, you know, so I would say it would be probably when I'm receiving an award. So I would always have this dream and I've lived with that dream. Nurturing lives came way, way, way later after my daughter was born and... You know, I had got into the field of psychology by then. And Nurturing Lives, the name came wherein one day, you know, I was constantly doing this brainstorming about what name, organization needs a name.
Okay.
And I rely a lot on my prayers, my intuition. And one day I'm sitting in front of the laptop and doing something and suddenly this name comes in, Nurturing Lives. And I'm like, wow, that's so nice, right? Like, okay. And the tagline also went like, nurture your life and, you know, live your dreams or something like that. Now we don't use that tagline anymore. But that time it was something like, nurture your life and manifest your dreams. Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
So, you know, so it connected to what I wanted to do and what I wanted to do for people. But at that time, the surroundings I was in and the people I was around never understood what I'm talking about. So I remember this day. Now when you're asking, I think you're the first person who's asking me this.
Okay.
But I remember that day when I got this name and I'm bouncing with joy with the name. And, you know, I'm telling people around me and they all give me a cold look of whatever, like, you know. So it stayed there dormant for a long time till I reactivated. So I had a book of dreams.
Okay.
And I would keep writing whatever my dreams are, how my life will be and how it should look like. I know it was my personal, like a very close to heart book. And so that name stayed in that book for years. Like, you know, it took at least 4 or 5 years for that name to actually actualize. It's then after that when I shared with my current husband now, he was my friend then.
Okay.
One day we just met and we were talking and I spoke to him about this dream and the organization and the name and, you know, and he said, you know what, I have something very similar in mind. And that's when the whole dream got realigned and it came to birth all over again. So, you know, Nurturing Lives has had 2 births.
Okay.
And that is the day it went forward. Then he created a logo for me and, you know, we went forward with that.
All right. I mean, there is a very beautiful story. I mean, you had this vision since long back, but then now it has come out, you know, and now it has, you know, come out as a fruit, basically.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Yeah. So the thing that is now, originally, it is like completely born into life since probably only since seven, eight years.
Okay.
Yeah. But the name was active since more than 10, 12 years. It's got utilized now.
And you started dreaming when you were just 7. I mean, we barely know about ourselves and people around 7. So it's a quite young age.
I always had that. And a lot of time, at times I feel people say, oh, you always were very clear about what you wanted to do. But it's not like that. It was a very vague picture of I want to do something. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there was no clarity. And I had to go through my own journey of up and down to discover what it is.
You started your career with coaching, mentoring and training people and corporates. So, I mean, did you know that you want to do that as a career from the starting? Or how did it happen, this coaching, mentoring and training?
I didn't start my career with coaching, mentoring and training. My mm-hmm. career started as a nutritionist.
I did
my post-graduation in nutrition and dietetics. That's again a long story. My life has taken a lot of twists and turns.
Okay.
So after my I did my graduation in microbiology mm-hmm. and I did my post-graduation in nutrition and dietetics. So I'm not sharing the part why from graduation to post-graduation, that leap is again a different story on its own. But yeah,
if you would want to know, I think the audience would want to know if you are comfortable, you know, sharing.
Yeah. There's nothing about my life that's hidden. I just thought it's going to be too big. So, you know, life has given me a lot of twists and turns. When I was in 12th grade, I did science. I love animals and I wanted to get into veterinary science.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I was so obsessed about it. But again, I come from a family where, you know, everybody has an opinion about what the girl should pursue. So, like, wherein, you know, the extended family will also have a view about it. So,
right.
My uncles, everyone said, oh, don't send her into veterinary science. She will be going into jungles. She'll be treating buffaloes. She'll be doing that and this. And, you know, so that's not the career for a woman. Nobody would want to get married to a veterinary doctor. It's such a yucky thought. You will be having cleaning animals at areas where you don't want. So veterinary science did not happen. Then I said, okay, physiotherapy again for some, trivial things. Like, you know, that was the time when internet, we had this MTNL connection. So physiotherapy, I had my, after your CET, you have your interview date scheduled. So I had my interview dates, which were scheduled for physiotherapy, and I'd noted it. And post that, Dad locked the MTNL connection.
Okay.
He said, much of internet is being used.
Ah.
And I said, okay, so and so is the date, and I knew it, you know. So it's not that he did consciously, but I knew it. And it so happened, I never went back checking on if the dates have changed or anything, because I did not know that something like that can ever happen.
Uh-huh.
Now, there were girls in my college who had the dates similar to mine.
Okay.
So, three, four days before the scheduled interview date, these girls in my college, like the graduation days are already started, you know, before the medical stream start, graduation college already starts. So, we had all enrolled for our microbiology graduation and we were all scheduled for the same date of interview.
Right.
So, these girls met me at college 2 days before the interview date was scheduled. Like, let's say if 18th is the interview, they meet me in the college around 15th. And they're like, yesterday was the interview, why you didn't come? And I said, how come yesterday, you know, it was supposed to be on 18th. They said, yeah, but it got preponed. You did not go back and check. I said, I did not go back and check.
Yeah.
So I missed down to those interview dates. And again, physiotherapy didn't happen. Then I got into microbiology. I said, I've anyways taken a degree. You know, I've always, at that time, like, especially at that time, I was more like a lucky go, happy go lucky. Okay, so I
have whatever is coming, huh? Go with the flow.
You know, so I did not really sit and sob about it. So I was literally disheartened, but I did move on, like, you know. So I said, okay, let's go on with microbiology. So I did 3 years of graduation in microbiology and I would really enjoy medical microbiology. But again, at that time in Bombay, we did not have a college offering medical microbiology. And Dad was very clear, no going outside Mumbai and studying. You have to be in Mumbai and study. So again, no going outside Mumbai. I was getting into, trying to get into post-graduation of microbiology.
Okay.
For a lot of, again, stuffs that happened around in the background, like, you know, some of politics happened. Some people use their contacts and stuff like that. And I couldn't get through my seat. So I lost onto my seat, which is, again, you know, so a long story. Went through some emotional turmoil there because my dad is also a person with very high influence and is a very big social worker. But he was very clear on not using his influence for us. But here there were people using their influences left, right, center. And, you know, I couldn't get through those seats and just lost it out. So post-graduation, I was again for nutrition and dietetics, there were post-graduation MSc colleges at that time were lesser. And I had not gone for a post-graduation diploma course. I had not even applied.
Okay.
And MSc post-graduation nutrition and dietetics, I had not got through.
Okay.
Then it so happened, everybody has got admission and I'm sitting here thinking I've almost lost in year. There is no way I'm getting a post-graduation this year. And, you know, I was searching for jobs.
Okay.
And I see this small ad, a small paper cut, which says, okay, post-graduation diploma in nutrition and dietetics in some hospital. And I was like, you know, I want to study something. Like this year, I want to study. I can't waste my year. And there is no way I'm not doing a post-graduation.
Right.
So that's where then I jumped into and got into Jesuit College. And, you know, it was it was again a different college as in, you know, we had issues with the faculty and stuff. And but then, yeah, I coped up and I picked up during my internship days doing extra hours. So morning I would go for my internship, start, you know, work there for 8 hours, come back in the night, study till night 12 or 11, 12 or 1 o'clock. Then in the early morning I would take tuitions and, you know, so I would have my tuition students come to my house in the morning at 6 o'clock because I had to leave for Asian Art at that time by 7. You know, so that way I coped up and completed my post-graduation. So that's how I kind of went ahead and did nutrition and dietetics. But that was like the thing that I enjoyed when I did. And I started my career as a postgraduate in nutrition and dietetics. Went forward with working in hospitals. And I worked with a lot of corporates also at that time.
As a dietitian and nutritionist.
As a dietitian, as a nutritionist, yes.
Okay.
However, when I worked in hospitals, I always knew that, you know, when I would meet my patients, I worked in Leelavati Hospital, I worked in Hiranandani, I worked in Asian Heart. So when I would meet my patients, when I would go for my rounds, I would spend a lot of time talking to them about, you know, I was not a graduate in psychology. I did not know anything about psychology then.
Okay.
But I would still talk to them about mind, emotions, being happy, you know, not letting your emotions affect you. So I would have a lot of counseling rounds happening with my patients even at that time.
So that came very naturally.
It came very naturally. And I could see that there is more. I could see that, you know, it's not just nutrition. Their health has more to it. And I could see those mental things there. And I always felt incomplete as a nutritionist.
Okay.
You know, I would talk to my friends, I want to do something more. This is incomplete. And, you know, this is not the whole thing. There is more to it. But I did not know what the more was.
Okay.
So the first thing started as a nutritionist until I went through a few therapies. And then I figured out, oh, this is a missing piece of information. Then I went and did all the modalities of mind and healing and emotions and all that.
And you have done 18 different modalities of psychology.
I continue doing, so I continue studying.
That's so how you keep going and that's how it, it drives you, isn't it?
Right.
So that is how from nutritionist to, you know, a coaching and mentoring and training happened. And now you do full-time coaching and mentoring.
I don't take the direct client for nutrition anymore.
Okay.
However, for my clients who are a part of coaching, yes, nutrition plays a very important role when we talk to them. And I've also developed few training programs based on, which is called as Mindless Dieting to Conscious Eating. We have now changed the name to Indulge. So it completely talks about your role of mind and role of emotions in the food choices that you make.
Okay, makes sense.
Yeah, so when I talk to people about nutrition also, it's always the mind and emotions which play a role there. So it's that way I do approach nutrition, but otherwise just from a diet plan perspective, I don't do it.
Makes sense. All right, so there's little, I also read about, you know, you have a keen interest for women entrepreneurs. So that is also a conscious decision or, you know, it was also, you know, it came naturally. Why only something, you know, why especially for women entrepreneurs and not for everyone?
So this is something that we consciously have come up to. It's after, you know, 8-10 years working with different type of women. And I would earlier work because I've done so many modalities. I could address health issues, I could address financial issues, I could address the relationship issues. So literally, like, you know, I when I joined Arfeen Khan is my mentor, and I joined the trainer with him.
Okay.
So the first day when you're supposed to introduce yourself, so that day, it is I think around 4 years back. So the day when I was introducing myself, I said, I've worked with this. And at the end, he literally asked me, can you make a dead person alive? I said, you know what, Arfin, I've not tried, but I'm sure I can do that. So I had actually done all of it, you know.
Oh.
So that was a time when I would do all of it. And at the end of it, I would be like, whom do I want to focus on?
Yes.
And whom do I really want to, you know, you need to narrow down onto your tribe.
True.
You can't offer a solution to everyone. That's going to confuse you at the same time along with others. And what will you be known for? What will you stand out for? Like when someone has to, 10 years from now, when someone have to think of Smita Nair, what will they know Smita Nair for? So I had to come to that. And that was my search. That quest had started. So once I sat down, I wrote all the clients I've worked with, all the success stories, all the things, like literally wrote down and did a lot of brainstorming. It took me days and months to do this. And I saw, okay, what are the qualities of the clients with whom I connect the most?
Okay.
Which are the kind of clients I love to have? Which are the kind of clients with whom I have given the best results?
Okay.
And when I saw that, I saw one common trait with all the women that whom I worked with. And these are, you know, you need to know who are your ideal clients.
Right.
And what are the kind of clients you will love to work with? So when it came to what are the kind of clients I love to work with, I figured out one common trait is I work very good with women who have an ambition.
Right.
Who have a drive for something more. Yeah. Like if you are a person, if let's say if anybody, you know, you're not a person, you're a person who's ambitious again. So let's say if there's someone who's a person who's saying that, you know, I'm very content with life. I'm good with whatever life is offering me. And, you know, I would want to just stay with this. And then it's not a tribe with whom I can connect and work with.
Got it.
Yeah. Then that's the time we said, okay, it's senior women leaders and it's women entrepreneurs.
Oh. Okay.
Because that's the tribe with whom I could give the best results and with whom I have made the best connection and with whom I would love to work with and with whom they have seen the best results as well, you know. So that's why we came to women entrepreneurs and senior women leaders.
Okay. No, I think it is also very important to have your own niche. Instead of being a generalist, it's important to, you know, have, you know, you can't be, you know, master of all. You have to be master of one thing.
Exactly.
Yeah. So I think it is very important, you know, you cannot cater to everyone.
Yeah, you have a general physician and you have a specialist. Like you will go to an orthopedic when it's the bones. You will go to the cardiologist when it's the heart.
Yeah.
So it's the same way. It's not that the cardiologist doesn't know, you know, whether a fever medicine or your cold medicine, but they specialize in cardiology.
So, you know, having said that, I'm sure the journey from, you know, discovering yourself to helping people discover themselves has not been easy. What do you think, you know, was the, you know, toughest time that you had in the 7-10 years?
Toughest time in terms of discovering myself or toughest time in terms of setting up my own setup and business?
I would say, you know, setting up your own business and setting up nurturing life, setting up your own self, your own brand.
So I have gone through two major phases of journey here wherein setting up my brand came way later.
Okay.
By then I had learned quite a lot about business. You know, the first journey started with discovering myself and freeing myself from the conditioning that I've had and, you know, coming to terms with breaking the societal terms and conditions that a girl has been put through of being in a marriage which is not working out for you, letting yourself die each day, but still sticking to the word of compromise. And, you know, so I've gone through that part of entire journey where I felt I was dying each day and I couldn't live. I couldn't live to a point where I'd reached depression and I'd reached suicidal point and, you know, and I was thinking of giving up onto life. So that's the time my daughter was very small. She must be 6-8 months around. And, you know, so that was my phase of self-discovery. Business comes way later.
Okay.
And so I was going through that phase of where I was, you know, actually contemplating suicide and not because, you know, people, okay, I would like to say this because I want women to know this.
Yeah, please. please.
Yeah, and I want men also to know this.
Very important.
If you would ask me that, was there a physical abuse? No, there was no physical abuse.
Mm-hmm.
I was not staying with a family which was, I'm still in touch with my ex-brother-in-laws.
Okay.
So I don't believe in putting anybody down, and mm-hmm. I don't believe anybody is bad.
Right.
It's just that you have a certain frequency. And you have a certain, that you're made for something. This universe is like a big puzzle. Hmm. It's a big puzzle.
Hmm.
And you have a role to fit into that puzzle.
Definitely. Hmm.
If you don't, your piece of puzzle is missing, nobody's going to fulfill it for you.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and you're created with that frequency. You vibrate at that frequency.
Hmm.
Okay, now if you're in a marriage or in a relationship,
hmm.
which doesn't vibrate at the same frequency. I'm not talking about thoughts. I'm not talking about understanding. I'm talking about a frequency.
Frequency.
Which is way bigger than your thoughts and understanding.
Hmm.
Yeah, there is a level at which you can vibrate, resonate.
Hmm.
I was missing that. It was a cultural shock for me. It was an emotional shock for me. It was a spiritual shock for me. It was a mental shock for me.
Everywhere.
Yeah, so So it was, it's not that somebody is bad, so you have to walk out. It's that you know that this frequency doesn't match.
Just doesn't click.
You can't resonate at this level. You can't think the way you think. They think. You can't fit into the shoes they are asking you to fit into. You can't, become... You just... And, it's okay. It's okay for them to think of what they're thinking, but you can't think that way.
True.
Probably it works for somebody else, but it doesn't work for you.
Hmm.
So I was at that, and I was trying to become somebody else. I was trying to become somebody else to please.
To make
please
people happy around.
Yes. To prove my parents, I'm a good daughter. You all have done a good job.
Mm-hmm.
So to please my parents, to please my ex-husband, to please my in-laws, I've gone out of my way to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But in the process, I lost myself each day.
Yeah.
And I can really, when I say that, my soul was dying. I was dying each day. I felt spiritually stripped. I felt emotionally stripped.
Hmm.
And, there was no physical abuse. There was no physical wound. But there was so much of emotional wound for me to carry on that it took me years to heal from it.
Hmm.
Yeah, so I was going through that phase, trying to become somebody else. And, there's a picture of mine with my daughter when she was eight months old.
Okay.
I put it up during my workshops.
Mm-hmm.
And when people say that, I ask them, who is this? And they're like, some lady. And that's not
they don't
lady.
Recognize you?
Yeah.
Okay. So you've changed and evolved so much?
Yes. It's like, 360 degree transformation. And
You're also a 360 success coach. We will talk about that as well.
So, I was becoming somebody else, losing myself in the journey. And each day I was feeling, this is not the life I can live. You get suffocated and you're claustrophobic and, you're dying within. And I was at that phase where I then hit depression and I hit suicidal thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
And I was really thinking of packing up. And one day, one of my sister's friend walked into the house and she had come for dinner. She had come in the evening and she was supposed to stay back for dinner or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Stay tuned to know more about the conversation that Smita had with her friend. How did she discover herself and got out of the bizarre thought of packing up to be a 360 degree success coach? More on her learning struggles and helping women entrepreneurs balancing life 360 degrees holistically. As the conversation went for hours together, I had to cut it short to two episodes.
Thank you so much for listening. Check out the space for the next episode to know more about Smita Nair. And please subscribe on iTunes, Google Podcasts, and let me know your thoughts about it. Also share and comment.